This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Warriors podcast player review series. We're just trying to run through all the players here, 10 to 15 minute reviews, everyone who played for the Warriors, just because the season feels like it was a few decades ago, if we're all being honest. And we might as well look back and see what happened with the players on the roster, what their role might be going forward, if they're still on the roster. And just what they did well, what they didn't do so well during the year. So we've already done Dragan Bender and Kai Bowman. We're going in alphabetical order here, so be sure to go find those episodes if you haven't listened to them yet. And today we're doing Alec Burks. Burks, honestly, there's not a whole bunch to talk about. He is kind of the consummate player who put up pretty decent stats and otherwise didn't really leave us with much to talk about, to be frank. So here's what his stats were with the Warriors. 48 games, 18 starts. He averaged 16.1 points, 4.7 rebounds, 3.1 assists, and one steal per game. Shot 40.6% from the field, 37.5% on threes, 89.7% on free throws. As a result, his true shooting percentage was 55.2%, which I'm not sure exactly what league average was in the 2019-20 season, but usually it hovers right around that 55% mark. So basically league average efficiency, but 16.1 points per game. So, you know, decent volume on average efficiency. There's a lot of value in that. So the Warriors signed him in free agency prior to this year. He's been a bit of a journeyman. They were his fourth team after starting his career in Utah, played a long time in Utah, and then bounced to the Cavs, to the Kings, not long stints at either team, over to the Warriors, not a long stint at the Warriors. And of course, Golden State eventually traded him at the deadline to the Philadelphia 76ers. So if you are invested in former Warriors players, even though the Warriors are not continuing the season, Burks, as well as Glenn Robinson III, will be playing for Philadelphia. I believe neither of those players have opted out of the restart inside the bubble in Orlando. So if you're invested in former Warriors, the Sixers give you a few recent Warriors wings that you can root for. All that is to say that obviously Burks does not have much of a role on the 2020-21 Warriors team since he is no longer on the Warriors, though it is worth noting, as we'll also cover when we get to GR3, he was really well liked by the players, by the staff. You know, his teammates and his coaches had nothing but good things to say about Burks. So there is a door open, I would assume, for him to return in free agency prior to next season. I know he's been on a lot of not particularly good teams in his career and has been open about wanting to be able to compete for a title. If the Warriors get back to full health for next season, then they could potentially provide him that opportunity. I think, you know, the biggest blow for them is that he played well enough this year that he probably earned a bigger contract than the Warriors gave him this season and then they can afford to give him next year. So you would expect him to kind of go where the money goes and hopefully land on a good team in the process. But the Warriors, with the contracts they have committed to Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and Andrew Wiggins, don't really have the finances to give much to a player like Burks, even though they would love some wing depth, since they don't really have much there behind Wiggins. They don't really have a backup small forward to speak of yet. So what did Burks do well this year? A lot, to be honest. I mean, he frankly was better than I expected him to be, better than a lot of people expected him to be, better than, honestly, I think he was better than the stats suggested he should have been. The 16.1 points he averaged with the Warriors was a high for him, a career high for him. The assists were a career high for him. The efficiency was well above his career average to that point. So he really was simply a better player than we'd been used to seeing him on other teams prior to joining the Warriors. And that was reflected in some advanced stats where he didn't grade out well, but he graded out as passable, where in the past he's kind of been a player that the per-game stats were okay on, but the advanced stats really did not like. And this year, those both moved up to where the per-game stats suggested he was quite good, and the advanced stats suggested he was, you know, an everyday rotation player, albeit not a guy who should have been starting or getting 29 minutes a night, as were both the case with the Warriors. So as for what he didn't do so well, the defense was just kind of there. He had kind of all the physical tools you would expect out of a strong wing defender, but it didn't really materialize as strong wing defense. So, you know, he was kind of just neutral there. Again, moderate efficiency, not bad, but not necessarily a good thing there. The ball often stopped when it got to his hands. He showed some good playmaking, some good penetration. Those things were on display, but the ball often just stopped while he waited for an opportunity to do that. He had a decent three-point shot, but it wasn't good enough for him to really be a big threat off the ball. He didn't really have any gravity. He wasn't really a weapon off ball. He was more just kind of a role player, which is fine. That was what he was brought on to be. So ultimately, I think it's safe to say he overperformed a little bit, and you can see that in when he moved to Philadelphia. Only an 11-game sample size there, but he saw a decrease in minutes. He saw a decrease in his role, just wasn't asked to do as much once he was with the 76ers. And you saw that kind of reflected in the way that he played. His efficiency took a hit. The three-pointers dropped to 32.7%. The true shooting percentage dropped to 52.7%, which was much closer to his league or his career average. The assist rate dropped quite a bit from 17.4% to 13.4%. Again, right back into his career average. So it's not like he was unexpectedly bad with the Sixers. He was just worse than with the Warriors, where he was unexpectedly good. He dropped back to more the Alec Burks that we've grown accustomed to over the course of his 9-year NBA career. So the Warriors got the best of him, and that's something to be grateful for. And maybe there was something to that. Maybe they saw something in him that they were able to utilize a little bit better than other teams. So maybe something about their system or just about the role he had in Golden State, getting as many minutes as he did, getting a chance to often be the primary ball handler, the first offensive option. He finished fourth on the team in points per game, trailing only D'Angelo Russell, Steph Curry, and Andrew Wiggins. Those are three players who are obviously paid enormous sums of money mainly to score the basketball. So the fact that, you know, those were the only players he trailed speaks to what his role was on this team. He was often their first option on offense. And, you know, with all due respect, that's part of why the Warriors were a 15-win team this year, is because if Alec Burks is your number one option on offense, things have likely gone wrong, and things did go wrong for the Warriors. But that's not his fault. And he did better with that role than you would have expected. So many players, when they get thrust into a bigger role, you see a drop off. You see their efficiency plummet, their selfishness maybe take over. Maybe they look a little bit in over their heads. And for Burks, I thought, you know, we saw the opposite. The larger the role got, the better he played. the more he was able to utilize his skills and maximize his talents and be a quality player. So he'll be fun to keep an eye on in Philadelphia. If you really loved him, he's certainly a player who I wouldn't be surprised to see back in a Warriors jersey sometime down the road. He's still just, well, he's about to turn 29. He'll be 29 by the time the season restarts at the Disney Resort. So still young enough that he's got plenty of playable years ahead of him. Again, I doubt that we'll see him re-sign with the Warriors in this coming offseason just for financial reasons, that he played himself into a contract a little bigger than Golden State can probably offer. But the players were open about loving playing with him. The team was open about liking him. He was open about how he would love a chance to play for the Warriors again under better circumstances than being the worst team in the league as they were this year. So maybe not this coming offseason, but maybe next offseason, maybe 2022. Who knows? Either way, a good season for Alec Burks. Wish him a lot of luck in the NBA.